We're broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios.
Visit
mte.com.
Middle Tennessee Electric.
Serving to make life better.
Since 1936.
This is a WGNS Action Line. Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers.
Since 1947.
This is a WGNS Action Line. Now your host, Scott Walker.
Our guest today in studio from MTSU, Dr. John Villanova, Assistant Professor in the Department of Physics and Astronomy and Associate Director of Research on the QRISE Center. Tell us what the QRISE Center is.
Thanks for having me this morning. QRISE stands for Quantum Research, Interdisciplinary Science, and Education Center at MTSU. And it's part of the Quantum Initiative at MTSU to educate students and prepare them to be a part of the new national quantum ecosystem.
So what made you want to go this direction, you know, once you graduated college and all that good stuff?
So quantum physics is kind of wild. There are a lot of unexpected things. In our usual daily lives, we think of classical physics. There's a particle, it has a position, it has a speed. In quantum physics, particles can behave as waves, and there's interference, and there's a lot more interesting kinds of resulting properties in materials. So I was very intrigued to do fundamental and novel research in that direction.
So what is some of the latest research that you have done there?
So I'm in quantum materials, so finding materials that have the electronic or collective properties that give rise to a technology that we can produce from these kinds of low-dimensional systems. I was working on quantum spin liquids, something that behaves like a magnet, but if you cool it down to low enough temperature, even down to zero temperature, it actually fails to order like a magnet. That was very surprising, and it's something that is a bit controversial even today.
Is that something you expected to see once you initially started that project?
Sure, yes. So I'm a computational physicist, and so the theoretical predictions for quantum spin liquids were pretty well established, but nothing experimental. And so kind of computational physics bridges that gap between the theoretical and the experimental side, where people are trying to look for signals of quantum spin liquids but hadn't found any yet.
So are there a lot of, I guess, breakthroughs that come from MTSU, that come from your department that you're seeing?
Yes, and especially with our collaboration with other entities. For example, at part of QRISE, we have a $2 million grant with the Department of Energy working with Oak Ridge National Lab. And so there's a lot of really groundbreaking research coming out of collaborations with MTSU and Ornell and our other partners in the Middle Tennessee region as well.
Oak Ridge is a fascinating place. Have you had the chance to actually go inside some of the labs there?
Yes. Actually, I was a postdoc at Oak Ridge before coming to MTSU. And the scale of the lab is kind of surprising and very exciting. And I think, you know, your reaction to that and my reaction when I got there is part of the reason why part of educating students involves sending them to kind of work with the national labs. We will send students this summer to Oak Ridge National Lab as part of that kind of educational and research experience for students to prepare them to contribute to quantum.
Oak Ridge's history is fascinating. I mean, it didn't used to even be on the map years ago. It's kind of wild. Now, when you first enter Oak Ridge, do they still have the big gates that they used to have, the big guard towers and everything?
Oh, certainly, yeah. So I think they moved beyond the guard tower now. It's kind of like a pavilion. And yeah, you stop and wait for them to, you know, search your vehicle if you're chosen randomly. And yeah, there's high security because they're doing, frontier research there.
Yeah, I guess some of the top research in the nation is done out of there.
Absolutely, and for the world, really. They have a world-class neutron scattering facility there, and that's part of the experimental work that would help to confirm my research directions in quantum spin liquids.
How many miles of research and laboratories and buildings would you say they had there?
Oh, goodness. I mean, it's on a full reservation. It's 6 miles from the gate to kind of the main part of the campus. So I guess it's something like 20 miles by a few miles in size.
It's crazy, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's impressive.
So when you look at that and then look at MTSU's involvement in research there, I mean, that alone is fascinating and surprising, I think, for a lot of people.
Yeah, and really Middle Tennessee, MTSU, and you know our partner institutions around here like TSU and Fisk and Meharry Medical College are sort of at the nascent stage of having a strong quantum collaborative. And we're all working together on these kinds of research topics and educating students and preparing them to either go to the national lab system or join an industry. And that's part of what we're doing at QRISE is to develop industry partners as well, like MTE and EPB.
For a student, in order to get approved to go there to Oak Ridge and help with some of the research and everything, do those students have to go through background checks just like anybody else?
Well, yeah. Oak Ridge will do their usual background check for U.S. citizens and a separate background check if you're a foreign national. But that's, you know, routine. You submit your information and then you wait a few weeks to a month. And then they say, yes, you're welcome to come to the lab if you have a bona fide research purpose.
What is the most interesting thing so far you have worked on overall? Not just at Oak Ridge, but just overall in your years?
Oh, well, I think I have to say the quantum spin liquids, but I have a special place in my heart for topological materials. These are systems that are ordinary insulators, for example, like rubber. It's just a hunk of material that insulates. But actually, because of quantum physics, you can look at the electronic band structure of the material and find out that there are protected states that you're guaranteed to have on the surface. So it's like rubber if it conducted on the surface. And those are called topological insulators. And that was quite mind-bending and also very exciting because it was theoretically predicted before it was experimentally found.
What do you foresee in the future being discovered or proven or, you know, along those lines? What are things that you hope to see in the future, you know, over the next 20 years or so?
So it's difficult for me to say, oh, this is the exact direction within physics that's going to produce something that is this kind of result. However, on the quantum technology front, that's quite exciting because we're at the beginnings of being able to deploy quantum computers, which could solve problems in hours that would take a classical computer decades. We're at the beginning of using quantum technology to sense minute quantities of materials, like chemicals or diseases. We're at the beginning of quantum communication where you have long distance secure communication. So these all have national security and major economic impacts. And the McKinsey report predicted something like $1 trillion of economic impact from quantum technologies by 2035, I believe. And so it's pretty exciting to see that we are going to be able to train students and do excellent research at the QRISE Center in order to involve Middle Tennesseans in, you know, those developments nationally and worldwide in quantum technology.
Where do you see AI fitting into some of this? Because that's, you know, all the latest talk, it seems like, is AI this, AI that.
Yeah, I would say that federally, AI is one of three directions that they really are interested in research: quantum, AI, and nuclear. And AI is going to have a huge impact. It certainly does within my own research, because using artificial intelligence and machine learning can rapidly accelerate quantum materials discovery. And so while not directly related to quantum per se, it could involve AI to find those materials that we can use as architectures for quantum computing, for example.
I guess robots, AI-related robots, they're able to work in environments, even nuclear environments that humans cannot work in. So I'm curious if that's going to play a role too with future research.
Certainly. And to get there, we're going to need people, which is why MTSU, we're educating undergraduates and graduate students using these federal grant funds that we've been so competitive grabbing. But certainly as we develop it, it's quite likely that AI and AI-enabled robotics will take positions that would be dangerous for humans.
We got a question texted in as you were talking, asking about future travel and speeding up the time of travel. So I'm curious, does that fit into the picture in anything you're researching?
Oh, speeding up travel? I don't think so directly. Certainly using quantum computing to solve kinds of optimization problems matters. So for example, the power grid kinds of problems, making the grid robust or being able to deal with any kinds of difficulties, power outages. But that also goes to other kinds of things that look like the power grid, for example, the highway system. And so solving kind of logistical problems for Amazon or for the Postal Service can be important. And I can imagine a world in which solving those optimization problems in close to real time will matter in a future where we have a lot more driverless vehicles. And so maybe that will speed up your commute.
And then when it comes to generation of electricity, does that play a role in any of this, or does quantum research help any of that?
So quantum research definitely will help in the direction of having an efficient power grid and a robust power grid. Finding materials that are useful in those kinds of particular cases, whether you have a nuclear reactor and you want to have better alloys or better concrete or something along those lines, materials discovery will be accelerated by taking advantage of quantum computing. Additionally, there's sort of, in my field of theoretical condensed matter physics, a holy grail of high temperature superconductors, and we don't fully understand them. It's termed in the literature as unconventional superconductivity. And if we could find a higher temperature superconductor, then you'd have, no resistance, highly efficient transmission of electricity across the grid.
It sounds like quantum research as a whole really is going to filter out into a lot of different sectors across the nation. You know, it seems like it could really play a role in a lot of different industries.
Absolutely. Basically, that's the case with any kind of technology. And so we're doing basic research here at MTSU, which is not to say low-level research. It's just that we're doing research in directions that can have that kind of broad impact across many different fields.
So when it comes to doing research and being a professor at the university, how do you go about finding the time to do each?
Oh, it's so difficult. But of course, MTSU is quite supportive of their new research faculty. And so you just have to split that time. And it's not like you're working an 8-to-5 job. But of course, the nice thing is, this is something that I want to do. I'm very interested in quantum physics. So it's sort of fun to do that in the evenings. It's fun to do that during the day. And it's also really nice to be able to combine research with education. There are, of course, physics classes that I teach, but also to involve students in that research directly is really rewarding.
And I guess the outcome of the research, I mean, that could potentially equal more dollars to generate for the university to do more research, to bring on more students, to grow, all of those things.
Absolutely. And part of that is being competitive for grants. And the QRISE Center has been very successful under Dr. Hannah Terletzka. QRISE Associated Faculty have brought in over $8 million in federally competitive grants in the last few years. But also looking forward, it could bring in money in the sense that we will partner with nearby industry partners, MTE, EPB, IonQ, and be able to commercialize perhaps some of our developments within quantum technologies.
Going back just a second, you were talking about how Middle Tennessee Electric is involved in some of the research there. How does that fit into the picture with everything that you're doing? How does MTE fit into this whole picture?
So MTE is very supportive and very interested in supporting quantum at MTSU. And so while I'm directly a computational physicist, I haven't worked directly on optimization problems, but I'd be very interested in doing that. And part of the benefit is I don't necessarily have to be on that specific thrust in order to have MTE feel supported and be able to work with the problems that they have. We have an interdisciplinary science center. And so people in the math department or the computer science department can engage in those optimization problems that are especially of interest to electrical companies.
When it comes to defense of the U.S., how does that play a role in all of this research?
Yes. So while I don't know of anyone in the physics department that has a defense-associated grant, certainly development of technologies and development of materials will have a strong impact. And you see solicitations from the Department of Defense and the Army and the Air Force all the time on these kinds of directions, because superior materials means that you have superior electronics and more robust military hardware. Additionally, within quantum computing in terms of solving complex optimization problems, quantum sensing in terms of identifying dilute threats within the water or the air, and then quantum communication will be critical for communicating among our military securely. And so, yes, there's a lot of national security implications for quantum technologies.
When you look at the United States and all the different countries out there, where do you see the U.S. as far as leading the pack in technology and research? I mean, do we lead, or are there other countries that are maybe even ahead of us?
I think that we lead on really all three of the primary fronts that the federal government is emphasizing in quantum, AI, and nuclear. And our lead in AI is very strong because of Silicon Valley, and sort of China is trying to catch up there. And there's some question about whether they'll import NVIDIA chips and whether that's a good idea or not. But they're quite far behind in that point, even though they're the next runner up. Within basic research in quantum, the strong support from the federal government has been important all the way up until this point. And you've heard of possible cuts to a lot of federal agencies in basic research. And I think that's perhaps a bit dangerous to do. We don't want to squander our substantial lead over the world.
You hear different stories from other countries, from new services and whatnot, and you have to wonder, is what you're hearing, is it just propaganda to make that country look as if they are possibly beating the U.S. in technology?
Certainly from certain countries that have a rather less democratic kind of government, it does appear to be a level of propaganda. Partners in Europe are doing excellent research at their national lab systems in quantum. And it's important to work among everybody in the United States to grab U.S. talent from everywhere, including Middle Tennessee, and to work internationally in a collaborative sense with our allies. I think you may have seen recently there was this sort of funny Russian robot that just kind of fell over. Yeah, there's a level of propaganda within kinds of scientific advancement from these other countries.
So what is the next thing you'll be working on as we close out this morning?
So I'm working on a project with a student on ultramagnetism. It's a new type of magnetism that is not like the ferromagnet on your refrigerator, and it's not like an antiferromagnet, which has no net moment. It has something kind of in between. It's an unusual type of quantum magnetism, and hopefully I'll work with that student and send him to Oak Ridge this summer as part of our Tennessee QMAT Renew program with the Department of Energy.
Magnets. When you talk about magnets in general, mm-hmm. is that where some of our future, the power for vehicles, the power for other types of things like that, does it lie in the research of magnets?
I'm not entirely sure about in the vehicle front, but certainly the kind of frontier research on quantum magnets is critical, because they're going to be a platform on which that you can use for quantum computing, or they're going to be the platform for having these kinds of robust topological states that you can manipulate for other kinds of electrical purposes. I could imagine there could be some kinds of new circuitry within a vehicle, for example, based on these kinds of new devices that arise from quantum materials research.
And if anybody would like to learn more, what should they search online?
What should they search? Certainly look at MTSU's QRISE Center to find out more about what we're doing at MTSU, and search for National Quantum Initiative to see what the federal government views as critical directions in quantum.
When you search that, does it talk about MTSU's role at Oak Ridge and everything, and MTE's involvement?
The MTSU QRISE Center website absolutely does, yeah. And there are a number of new news articles through MTSU pointing out our new partnerships with these other entities and our ability to educate students and send them into the national quantum ecosystem.
Dr. John Villanova with us this morning, assistant professor in the Department of Physics and Astronomy and associate director of research on the QRISE Center. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Gift cards are always the easiest gift. This is Peter Demas at Demas's Restaurant. We will buy gift cards and just kind of have them on hand. They're amazing gifts to give to teachers. If you want to give a gift at your workout groups, you have a personal trainer, family members, it's great to give gifts for 16, 17, 18 years old who are just now beginning to date, and they need to be able to have some place to take someone on a date to. Gift cards are always the easiest gift. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, inviting you to come do business with our family while you're Christmas shopping. For the person that has everything, give them the gift of relaxation with a beautiful new aquarium kit. If you're already an aquaphile, we have everything that you need to keep your tanks looking good and running smoothly. Check out our wonderful selection, both salt and freshwater. Animal City, your local home for both fresh and saltwater fish. Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
This message brought to you by the Central Tennessee Regional Solid Waste Planning Board. Visit RecycleRightTN.com for tips, ideas, and locations on where to recycle near you. That's RecycleRightTN.com.
Recycle right, it's all on you. Don't be trashy, recycle classy, recycle right, Tennessee.
Go to RecycleRightTN.com.
Recycle right, Tennessee.